Amen. Thank you, Rob. Good song. Appreciate that. And how true that is. Wednesday nights we gather and have many children all right up here real close, and I recognize that I am among greatness, because who knows? Who knows? They are the future, and it's always very intimidating, really. I mean, you look out there, and you just don't know what does God see in those young people. And of course, we have our teens many times right here close, and I just think of the potential. It's just amazing to me, just amazing what God can do. If you just say, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do your will. And his plan is always a perfect, perfect plan. Well, in 2 Kings, we have another person that stands out very, very much. The Bible says in verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, a great woman. Of course, we know her as the Shunammite woman, and I want to talk to you about this great woman this morning. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Thank you for the music. Thank you for singing. Thank you for every person who's here. Lord, help us to realize no one is here by accident. We're all here on purpose, that you have something for us. Please cause us to pay attention to thy word today and to your Holy Spirit as you speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Help us to make the decisions we need to make, especially, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today would be the day that they would trust Christ as their Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not just a mother, but a great woman, the Bible says in verse 8. A great woman. And verse 19, it kind of describes her again, and I like this. He said unto his father, my head, my head. And obviously this child is very sick. And the father, he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And boy, that happens often, doesn't it? I mean, that happens many, many times. I think about the many times in our home when you know, you just couldn't do anything with the kid. I mean, they're screaming, they're yelling. All right, it's time to go to your mother. You know, and we hear that. I'm talking about times when the diapers need change. Carry them to the mother. Amen. I'm talking about when things are bleeding, you know. Okay, mom, you deal with that. I'm thinking about times when the stomach contents become visible. You know what I'm talking about. See, that's a good way to word it on Sunday morning. And, you know, that's time. Carry them to the... Isn't it amazing what mothers do? Isn't it amazing how much a mom has to do, and how much that it's just normal. It's expected. I mean, here in the scripture, carry him to his mother. That is it just seems, well, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. And of course, as we read the story, he has something wrong with his head, some kind of sickness, some kind of disease. And the mother here, the Bible says that that she takes this child, and after he has been carried to her and she holds him, verse 20, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And obviously she gave him comfort, and we don't know what time this all started, but for quite a while she gave this child comfort, as mothers always do. I think of you know, how mothers are the comforter in the home and provide that comfort often. And so these character traits that I want to show you through this passage certainly are character traits that a mother would want. Certainly they're character traits of a great woman, but I think most of these character traits are for anybody. I think these are good things for all of us, and I trust that you will listen carefully and let God speak to your heart. Notice in verse 8, our first point is her compassion. Her compassion. The Bible says that where was a great woman, and she constrained him, talking about the man of God. Elisha's passing by, and Elisha had often gone by there. But the Bible says that this woman constrained him to eat bread. I mean, she was compassionate to the man of God. She constrained him. She said, look, you can't go by here without stopping by and getting something to eat. By the way, men of God love to eat. Amen. And usually fried chicken always, I mean, that'll work. T-bone steak works. Pork chops work. Unless, of course, you have Jewish tendencies. But I mean, men of God love to eat. And this woman had compassion on the man of God, and she constrained. In other words, she said, look, I've got plenty of food. Don't worry about it. She didn't care about missing her meal. By the way, moms will do that all the time. You know, well, you know, the son is eating, and we experience this often. And Brenda will say, well, I'm not hungry. You know, well, I know she's starving. I can hear her guts growling. But Dave, you know, it's always for Dave. You know, I mean, he can eat anytime. And she'll say, I'm not. Now, she doesn't do that with me, but no, she actually does. Moms are like that. And this woman said to the man of God, look, we've got plenty, whether they did or not. You know, I'm reminded of the Dehasses and the man that was my assistant pastor for years in Bern, Indiana, and how they would invite me over. Sometimes maybe my wife would be out of town or something, and I'd whine enough about it, you know, and, oh, you know, I'm suffering, I'm dying. Doesn't do any good around here. I do that all the time. Did that with the Koreas, and they never took care of me. But anyway, you know, I'll whine about it. Oh, you know, I'm suffering, I'm dying. And then she would invite me over, and I'd watch, and Ken was huge. I mean, he was a big guy, and he could eat. I mean, he ate more than I did. But I'd watch, and she'd just have this meager portion. And, of course, I'm thinking, I feel kind of bad about it, but I didn't feel that bad. Do you know what I'm talking about? But she would say, oh, no, preacher, it's fine. We want you to eat. And Ken would be kind of sitting there, you know, and the food would get past. And I'd take a little meager portion. And his eyes would get real big, and she'd look at him. I mean, she'd just look at him like, it's a preacher. You know, you don't need to, you know, and Ken would take this little meager, I mean, a little meager portion, you know. And she'd make sure I'd get seconds and all that. You know, that's what this woman did. She had compassion for the man of God. And certainly, when we have compassion, it is a wonderful thing. And I believe God blesses that when we have compassion on other people. In verse 10, it says, as this man of God, as Elisha continued to go by their home and stop in at different times, she finally said in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And again, we see her compassion. And that is where the name prophet's chamber comes from. We have a prophet's chamber here over in our school, a place for those that are servants of the Lord. They can come and they can stay there. And what a blessing that is, a place to rest, a place to get alone with God, a place to spend the night. And what a blessing that is. Well, this woman, this is where we first got that idea. She said, you know, you come by our house, not only are we going to feed you, but we want to provide you a place where you can rest. We want to give you a place where you can study and you can get alone with God and you can spend the night, you can rest there. She had compassion. You know, I think about our folks that house missionaries during our missions conference and open up their home. And I'm thinking of families right now that, you every year you say, okay, I want some missionaries to come to my house and I want to feed them and I want to take care of them and I want to provide a place for them. Boy, I believe God will bless you for that. God wants us to show compassion. I think about all the tour groups. We have tour groups coming from everywhere this year, this summer. We're going to need people to house them. You open up your home and have people come in and take care of them. I believe God will bless that. I thank God for people that will have preachers come and spend the night and people that will take care of them and feed them and all of that. I think about the compassion that our folks have on bus kids and the compassion when to take them home with them and maybe feed them a meal and to love them and to show them they care about them. I mean, compassion for others, that is so important today. This woman was a great woman because she had compassion. And I believe she would have compassion on certainly on the man of God, but on poor people and lost people. We need to have compassion. We need to understand there's folks out there don't have the things that we do. Let's have compassion. We need to understand there's lost people out there. I mean, before you get all mad and upset at the unsaved world, why not understand they're lost and they need the Lord. Have compassion. Tell them how to be saved. Her compassion. Number two is her consecration. And I love this. In verse 9 it says, she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. I mean, there was a time she said, you know what? This is a holy man of God. I perceive this man is a holy man of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's only one way she could know that, and that's because she walked with God. Are you listening? She walked with God. And because she walked with God, she knew Elisha was certainly a holy man of God. Today, it's sad to say, but so many want to walk with other things, and therefore they don't recognize a man of God. Hello? I mean, if you walk with the soap operas, you're going to have a hard time spotting the man of God. You're going to have a hard time perceiving a man of God. Today, if you walk with gossips all the time, you're going to have a struggle perceiving this is a holy man of God. If you walk with Oprah all the time, you're going to have a hard time recognizing a holy man of God. Amen? And you're going to have a tough time with that. But when you walk with God, it becomes very obvious. I mean, she knew, hey, here is a holy man of God. Was Elisha that? He sure was. He was a man endued with a double portion of God's power on his life. And you know, it didn't take her very long because she walked with God, who made it very clear to her who this man really was. Oh, thank God for those who know and respect men of God. And by the way, he helped her with her child. Are you listening? And you know what? A man of God can help you with your child. Amen. He helped her with her child. Now again, if you want to walk with soap operas and you want to walk with the world and you want to walk with all them, then you get their help. But if you want God's help, you better walk with God. And God will send men of God that can help you with your child, as he did the Shunammite woman. But it was because of her consecration. Her consecration. You know, men of God can help you. They preach, they teach. They are God's blessing to you. They're called God's gift in the Bible to you. But today, you know, oh boy, this is not the way it is. But it just depends who you walk with. If you walk with God, I promise you this, God will show you that there's men of God around you that can help you with your children. Her compassion, her consecration. Number three is her contentment. Her contentment. Notice verse 11. It fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? In other words, Elisha says, you've done so much for us. We want to do something for you. I want to be a blessing to you. How can I reward you for what you've done? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And you know, he's ready to do anything. He wants to help her out. He says, you know what? Your compassion, your consecration. I mean, you are a great woman. I want to help you out. But I love this about her, and it is our third point. It's her contentment. She says, I dwell among mine own people. Elisha says, I want to reward you. What could wouldn't you like to have some more things? She said, I dwell among mine own people. I mean, what can we do? What is to be done for you? Her response, I dwell among mine own people. She said, I'm very content where I am. I'm very content with what my husband has provided for me. Boy, isn't that a blessing, fellas? Wouldn't that be something, guys? I mean, she said, my husband has provided, and that's my own people. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need fancier clothes. I don't need more things. I don't need to be in the higher up clubs. I'm just really happy with what my husband has provided for me. I believe that's a great woman who's content. You know, fooey on this guy, but fooey's all right on Sunday mornings, okay? I just thought I'd tell you. But you know, fooey on this idea that, my husband's just not giving me what I think I deserve. I'd like to give you what you really deserve. But we don't do that. You know, what is the thing? Be content. Be content. This woman, I mean, she doesn't have much, I'm sure. I don't get the indication here that they are wealthy and they're big shots or anything. But I thank God for someone who's content. God says that's a great woman. A great woman. Amen. You know, it's interesting, and I'm counseling with two couples that are about to get married, and you know, one of the things that you talk about is, you know, how well do you know each other? What are your plans? What are your desires, and all that for the future, and how many kids you know all those kind of things, and they ought to be talking about all that. And you know, if a woman doesn't know that, okay, here's a man that I have a vision and it's here, and her vision is here. Okay, well, somewhere along the line, you two better get together and get your vision in the right place. Because I don't want her 5 years down the road saying, boy, he's a jerk. Hello? Some of you girls, you know, oh, he's just so cute. Yeah, but he's a deadbeat. And he's going to be cute sitting in his easy chair while you go out and work. You just need to know that. And by the way, if you're ready to put up with that, marry the dummy. I'm just saying, be content. Be content. Be content. Well, my husband has no drive. Yeah, be, you know what? You're not going to give it to him that way. It's not up to you to get a whip and drive him. Amen. This woman was content. I love that. I think that is wonderful. It's so opposite of worldliness. She was content with what she had. She wasn't trying to move up in the business. I'm just trying to be fulfilled. No, she had compassion. The preacher said, hey, you know, how can we do something for you? We want to honor you. We want to reward you. She said, you know what? I dwell with my own people. I'm very comfortable here. I'm very content. Very, very content. You know why marriages are a mess today? Because we have people not content. Well, my husband's fat. Well, honey, you're not so beautiful anymore either. Hello. You know, we do change. Boy, it's quiet on me. That always scares me when it gets quiet. I just get, you know, I think of that old town in the West, and I see that sign, you know, and I think, it's like saying sick'em to a dog. You know, fellas aren't amening because they're scared to death. That always bothers me too. But the wife's elbow's right there. Do not, amen. You're dead. Content. So opposite. Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, this isn't how I thought it would be. Somebody should have counseled you a little bit better then. Because I got news for you. When you say better or worse, it might be worse. It might be. When somebody says sick, you know, when the vow says sickness and health, it might be sickness. And certainly, when the vow says richer or poorer, it might be poorer. I know when you're going through the counseling and everything, you don't even think that. It's like, oh, he's just so sweet. You know, I understand all that, don't I, Becky? But I don't want to embarrass anyone. But no, she's very analytical. But you know, it honestly, be content. When you say I do, that's how it is. And be content. This woman was a great woman because of her compassion, her consecration, her contentment. Number four, look at her child. In verse 14 it says, he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. Now, that last part can be said about a lot of folks here. her husband is old. But he said, call her. When he called her, she stood in the door. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. She couldn't believe it. She said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She couldn't believe it. God says, I'm going to give you a child. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And it happened just like the man of God said. Wow. You say, wow, that's a miracle. Yeah, because she didn't think it was possible. And just like Sarah and Abraham, just like Elizabeth with John the Baptist. I mean, it was like a miracle. You say, wow, I mean, that's amazing, a miracle. Do you understand that all births are miracles? Do you really realize that every time a baby's born, it's a miracle? It is absolutely a miracle. I'm talking about a woman giving birth to an eternal soul. Are you listening? I mean, it is a miracle every time a child is born. Her child was no different than your child. Her child was no different than any other child. Her child was no different than a child back in our nursery right now, today. You say, oh no, preacher, this is a miracle. Your child's a miracle too. Every child is a miracle. Pity the thought of choosing whether you want the child or you don't want the child. How anybody ever even thought that way is what I call anti-mother. You've heard of the Antichrist, opposite of Christ. These are anti-mothers. Oh yes, they've got all kinds of science now where you can find out if the child has birth defects or not way ahead of time and then decide whether to keep the child or not. Soon it'll be whether they're a blonde-haired child or black hair or whatever, and maybe you don't particularly want that color of hair. Or maybe you don't particularly want the color of eyes that it looks like they're going to have, or maybe they have some kind of defect, or maybe you wanted a boy and you got a girl. Oh, I can't believe that. And pretty soon we're going to just pick and choose, and that is so anti-mother, it's out of hell. Picking and choosing. You know, every child's a miracle. A child with birth defects is a miracle. The man born blind in John chapter 9, that was a miracle. Who sinned that caused this to take place, this tragedy, a man born blind? And nobody sinned. It was just God's will that the man be born blind so that he could glorify God. Huh? Well, preacher, I mean, we shouldn't have to have a child that is not perfect. Pity that you'd even think that way, because you haven't got a clue of what being a mother really is. An anti-mother is opposite of a real mother. A real mother takes her child as he is, and she loves and nurtures and cares for and would give her life for that little child. You be careful of legislation that's coming out. You be careful of government statements and psychologists' garbage where they're trying to get us to think that we could somehow produce a better race, because it's right out of hell. You listen to me. Every one of those shepherds downstairs are precious people. Every one of them, they are precious. They were born the way they are because God had a purpose for that. And you want to feel sorry for them. I got news for you. They're having a better time than a lot of folks in this room are having. I promise you that. They don't have a whole lot of hang-ups. Are you listening? Oh, I just feel so sorry for... Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm telling you. You know, a real mother, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. You know, moms look at that little baby, and you know, little babies, most of them, I mean, they just don't really look that hot right at first. Hello. You know, and every mom is sitting there going, how dare he say that about my precious little baby? Right? You look down and say, Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. Oh, isn't he so cute? Right? And I see that mother's eyes. There's something about a mother when a baby's born. They just look different. I mean, their face, there's a glow. It's like, that's my baby. That's a real mother. That's how God made you. That's a great woman. I've said this, and I still believe this. If men had to have babies, there'd be no one left. We wouldn't go through it, but it's a mother. It's that care. It's that love. And do not let the devil convince us that this anti-mother kind of thought process is anywhere near right. It's right out of hell. Right out of hell. Her child is a miracle child, just like your children. Every precious child that's born is a miracle of God. Amen. Number five is her comfort. Her comfort. Verse 18, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And again, there's the mother's comfort. Where do we go for comfort? We go to mom. Where did I go when I was a child? I still remember the scrapes, the cuts, the bruises and the tears. And I would run right past dad to get to mom. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. I can remember when our children were little, and David, you know, he'd get in trouble, and Dad would deal with the trouble part, and immediately, where did he go? Right afterwards, went to Mom for comfort, for that hug. Dad's going, and Mom's going, oh, you're so sweet, you know, and all that stuff. I'm telling you. Where do they go when they scrape their knee? Where do they go when their stomach's sick? Where do they go when their feelings are hurt? They go to Mom. And Mom, that's where they're supposed to go. That's the comfort. Dads don't really have the words of comfort. We'll give some words of wisdom sometimes. Get over it. Right? Yeah, some of you see yourself. It was yesterday, right? You said that. Dad, I got a serious problem. Just get over it, kid, and do the work. Moms, they just give that comfort. And this woman was just like that. She was a great woman, God said. And I believe she's a great woman because of her comfort. By the way, if there's no comfort for Mom, that's unnatural. That's unnatural. You know, the moms, you see them in the stores, they slap their kids around. That's unnatural. Are you listening? They scream and holler at their kid. That's not natural. Some of you kids have a mom like that. Now, you love her, and you respect her, and you treat her right, but I'm just telling you, that's not how it's supposed to be. Moms are supposed to be comforting. Moms, by their voice, are supposed to give comfort. Moms, by their words, should make you feel like everything's going to be all right. That's how it's supposed to be. Huh? Amen. Now, this boy, sitting on his mother's knees, the Bible says he died. She comforted him all that time. I think she sang to him. I think she might have read the Bible to him. I think she comforted him until that time came. But notice number six, because the story doesn't end there. And number six is we see her confidence. And she always had confidence. Here's a woman again that walked with God. People who walk with God have an unusual kind of a confidence in that God, that he can do anything. By the way, didn't God give the child to her? Well, then she had all the confidence in the world to go back to that God and trust him with that child. By the way, parents, that's not a bad idea. If God gave you a child, seems like you could trust God with that child, no matter what's going on in their life. No matter whether they're sick, no matter whether they're hurting, no matter what's happening in their life, no matter if maybe there's a little bit of some tension between you and that child, you can still trust God and always take that child to God. Her confidence, there was no question. Verse 21, she went up and laid him, the child who has died, she laid him on the bed of the man of God. She's already thinking about God doing something. And shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband, said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. She said, I'm going back to that preacher. I know this is a man that walks with God. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She's got things pretty well figured out, right? I love it. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. And notice verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's confident. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Notice her confidence. I'm a man of God, I'm going to stay with you. Berean Baptist Church, I'm going to keep coming to church. Hey, Sunday school teacher, I'm going to stay in your class. Hey, Reformers Unanimous Director, I'm going to keep coming. Hey, bus captain, I'm going to keep coming to church. Amen. She had a confidence. She really believed this would change her life. She really believed God could do something here. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Well, that's good, isn't it? But see, she had confidence. She had faith. She believed. You say, "Well, I've been burnt by the man of God before." You know what? You're burning yourself if you dwell on that. You're robbing yourself. There's certainly a lot of fake stuff going on today. But if you walk with God, you'll know what is and what isn't. I want you to take note here. God has men that he uses. God has people that he uses. God has a church that he'll use. And it would do us well to recognize the help that is available. It would do us well to recognize supernatural help from God that is available. She said in verse 23, "It shall be well." She knew it'd be well no matter what happened. She knew. Right now, her child is not alive, but she knew that it would be well because the man of God. She didn't know that her child would be brought back to life. She had no idea of that. She just knew everything was going to be all right. Isn't that good? And she believed that, and she stayed with him. Verse 30, she said, "I will not leave thee." Boy, how many people get in a mess, they get in trouble, and first thing they do is leave church. I'm out of here. First thing they do is quit that class. First thing they do is quit riding the bus. First thing they do is walk away from that person who says, "I'll help you. I love you. I can be there for you." And she said, "No way. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be faithful." And we quit praying, and we quit reading our Bible, and we quit going to church, and we quit listening to godly counsel, and that's when we need it the most. She said, "I'll stay with you. There is no way in this world I'm going to do anything else. It is well, and it will be well. No matter what, it'll be well." That's why so many folks that are hit and miss in reference to church and reading your Bible and prayer, that's why you're a failure. She knew that God had everything under control. Why? Because it was God's word. Verse 28, she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? God, you gave me this child. And I know it's going to be all right." She claimed the word of God. But you know what? When you get away from the man of God, when you get away from the ministry of God, when you get away, you forget all about the word of God. I'm going to tell you, if it's not for the promises of God, I don't make it through the valleys I've been in. I don't make it through those tough times. This woman, the reason she made it, and she's a great woman, was her confidence in her God. And she said, I'll not walk away from that. Her confidence. Number 7, we see her countenance. And we see that in verse 26, and I love this. "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." I mean, from a distance, he couldn't even tell that this woman had problems. Why? Because of her countenance, because she wasn't bitter. Are you listening? She wasn't angry. She didn't get in a little group and gripe about how God had let her down and how the church had let her down. And how the youth director let her down. And how the Sunday school teacher let her down. How the pastor let her down. She didn't do any of that. She didn't gripe. She didn't complain. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. She didn't panic. And Elisha couldn't even tell at first that anything was wrong. He couldn't see the sorrow and the pain that was in her life. And she even said, "It is well." And by the way, in her heart it was well. There's the difference. Because she wasn't lying. She wasn't faking it. In her heart, everything was okay. Everything was okay. Why? Because she knew that God gave her that child. Do you? Do you? Do you know that God gave you what he gave you? Do you know that if God gave, that he has things all figured out? Do you know that he has it all under control? Just like Abraham with Isaac. I mean, Isaac was a miracle child too. Sarah, you're going to have a baby. You're 90. Abraham, you're 100. That can't be possible. It was possible. And then God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. And I love Abraham as he takes his son to offer him as a sacrifice. And he simply says, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. That's how the Shunammite woman, this great woman, that's how she could have peace in the midst of the storm. Because she knew, God gave me this child, and this child is God's. These parents that came and dedicated themselves to rearing the child right, they understand that child is not theirs. That child is God's. And they are simply entrusted to do right by that child. That's what this great woman understood. And so there was no panic. There was no bitterness. There was no anger. There was simply, you know, God, I trust you. And I believe you will provide. And by that, you know, God could either provide, as he does here, life to that child, or God could provide peace at the loss of that child. And I'm going to tell you something. Both are a miracle from God. Are you listening? Do not underestimate the miracles of God and think that it's always something that we see happen. It might be something that happens within you that you just cannot explain. I've told you of the many, many people, some parents of little children, some spouse of someone, some the child of a parent. Many, many I've stood in the funeral home as they look down at a loved one in a casket, and I've seen the peace that God gave them. I myself have experienced that miraculous peace. Do not sell that peace short. Like it's nothing. And I've walked out of many, many funeral services and said, wow, I cannot understand how that person has so much peace. And that's God. And that's every bit as much a miracle as if God would raise the dead. And that's why her countenance was the way it was. And then the last thing I see here is to describe her as a great woman was her consideration. Her consideration. Verse 36, and by the way, the child has sneezed 7 times. Never did a mother love to hear the sound of a child sneeze like the Shunammite woman when she heard that child sneeze 7 times. And the Bible says he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Her consideration, she was thankful to the man of God. So thankful. So thankful. Why? Because she had her son. When is the last time you thank God for your children? I can... Probably, it'd be very easy to look at your journal in your mind and come up with the last time that you were upset with God about your children. Or you griped about your children. Or you regretted something that your child did. But when is the last time you thanked God for that miracle called your child? When is the last time? Thankful. When's the last time you thank God for someone helping you with your child? A Sunday school teacher, a bus captain. When is the last time you were thankful? Because, again, she was a great woman. I believe she was great because she fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. Thankful. Thankful. By the way, he said, take up your child. She took up her son and went out. How opposite of abortionists today who say, I don't want my child. How sad the world we live in, the thinking that a person would say, I don't want my child. But the Shunammite, she knew this is a miracle from God. She took up her son and she went. She was a great woman. Do you have her countenance when trials come? Do you have the countenance of the Shunammite woman when hard times come, when sorrow comes, when difficult times come? Do you have the countenance where nobody could tell? Or do you immediately start griping and complaining and angry? And certainly the world would say, well, we understand. I mean, it looks like God lied to her and he did her wrong. And, you know, God never does that. God's always faithful. And you know what? Because she walked with God, she knew that. She knew that. I trust that everyone here would have this kind of character, to have compassion, to be consecrated to the Lord, to be content with what you have. I trust that everyone here would, especially those with children, would recognize how it's a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle that God would give us an eternal soul and entrust that soul to our care for 18, 20 years. It's a miracle. To see the character of having comfort and confidence in the Lord that God's going to take care of everything, and to keep a countenance of joy and peace though the trials come, and to be considerate, to be thankful for those that have helped us with what God's given us. She was a great woman. Let me say this and I'll close. There's so many like that right here. Some great, great people. I am awed in your presence. As Elisha thought about the Shunammite and put it down because God told him to, she's a great woman. I thank God for so many great women here. Great men, great young people. Let's all be what we ought to be for the Lord as the Shunammite was. Let's bow our heads, please.